This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hello and welcome to Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9. I'm Chris.
I'm Gordon.
And that leaves me to be Phil.
And we are speaking to you for the last time for about 9 weeks because we're going on holidays and unfortunately we don't want to load the whole of the show's performance onto Phil's shoulder.
Because it'd be a takeover.
No. We're not that unkind. It's because the job of putting the show together is it requires three brains.
Two and a half, anyhow. I'm only half.
Oh, really, Gordon? Stop it.
No, we don't confuse brains with wit.
Oh, is that what it is?
Been There, Done That, Joy's history program. We've made it our history program, and it does seem that we can find lots of gay stories, gay people, people with very interesting storylines. And today's show is going to be full of peoples with stories to tell, including Stephen Fry, Brian Epstein, Michael Jackson. Let's see who else. What about King Ludwig II of Bavaria?
Oh, the mad bloke.
Well, yes, and also, not to forget his fellow compatriot, Karl Heinrich Ulrichs.
He's going to be very interesting to talk about him.
Oh, he is
going to be very interesting, so you'll have to stay and listen for that little bit.
We'll also be talking about maybe Botany Bay Day.
Oh.
Or White Australia Day.
Oh, yes, things like that. And we might even make a comment about POTUS again.
Oh, God.
The wheels seem to be falling off his tricycle, and I'm not sure whether there's going to be enough wheels left. But then we're looking from afar and throwing up our hands in horror. Things are a little bit of a worry there for some people.
Only people who live on this planet.
Thank you very much. There's lots of other little stories that we'll be talking about. We'll have a guest in, Tristan.
Mm-hmm.
Tristan Beecham's going to be in, talking about all the Queen's men and about dancing. Throwing your legs in the air, throwing your body around.
Just moving gracefully across the floor.
Oh, you will be our expert on that, Gordon.
I thought you were supposed to dance like no one's watching.
Oh, well, you could if you went in the dark
room.
Which
wouldn't be very graceful.
That wouldn't be very good.
But first off, let's talk about Stephen Fry. Born on the 24th of August, 1957. UK actor, comedian, presenter and author. An all-round, totally frantic, busy person.
Yeah, he has some very interesting quirks. He's a person that collects gadgets. He says he owns the third Mac ever sold in Britain.
Yeah.
Because his friend owns the first two.
And he's Douglas Adams.
Yes, Douglas
Adams. From The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And he also has just about every version of a mobile phone that's ever been issued. He collects them, you know, and he's got this quirk about being a
first adopter.
If you've read his book, My Moab is My Washpot, it's about his life as a schoolboy when he went to boarding school and how he survived. He's Jewish, but his parents sent him to a proper English boarding school, but he hated it because he couldn't do what he wanted to do. Very individualistic sort of person. The whole book goes through this thing right up to the time where we went to jail for credit card fraud. It's very early autobiography because he's written two other parts after that.
Yeah, he's had a rather confused upbringing. Highly individualistic, but also he has shown in his life that he's had some mental problems that have affected his behavior. Mm-hmm. He acknowledges, and in print and on camera, that he's bipolar. He's also had fits of depression, and he has learnt to manage those.
The black dog he talks about occasionally. Yeah.
But he's also such a complicated person that he acknowledged very, very early in his life his homosexuality. What was his famous quote, please, Phil?
When asked about when he first acknowledged his sexuality, he quipped, "I suppose it all began when I came out of the womb. I looked back at my mother and thought to myself, that's the last time I'm ever going up one of those." Not a good visual.
Not a good visual, no, not
no.
at all.
He found comfort in acknowledging his homosexuality, that's right, his sexuality.
Yeah. When he came out of jail, he applied to go to Cambridge, and he went to Cambridge where he met Hugh Laurie, who, and they became great mates, and they wrote Fly on Laurie and other radio programs. He's appeared on Laurie's thing about the doctors in America. He's often in there as another doctor.
It was a TV show called House.
He was Dr. House.
And he was a wisecracker, know-it-all. Hugh Laurie, that is, not Stephen
Fry. Stephen Fry makes guest appearance on this every now and again. But he's also very interested in all sorts of things. He does travelogues and all sorts of things that he puts onto television.
He's very, very peripatetic.
Yes, he does all sorts of things. He doesn't leave his mind closed to one sort of thing.
No, and he has so much fun with QI, even though it is repeated and repeated.
But he's no longer on it now.
No. Well, Sandy is finished as well.
Yeah, has she?
Yes. Oh, right. So another gay presenter, Sandy Toksvig. Mm-hmm. So Stephen is...
He's a man of many parts.
Thank you very much.
he married his partner, of course.
Oh, yes, he is. He
married his partner.
Because
he could in Britain, yes. Yeah. We're still getting on. We'll get onto that a little bit later.
Anyway. Yeah. Mm. Someone who died on the 27th of August 1967 was Brian Epstein, the UK artist manager, including the Beatles he managed. He was born in 1934. But he didn't really have that much of a life.
He was very young when he died.
Yeah. Very sad.
Yeah.
We know him only from his managership of the Beatles.
That's right.
And their prodigious production schedules, things like that.
Mm. But they had no problem with him being gay. They knew he was gay. And John Lennon teased him a little bit. Yep. But I'm sure he teased everybody. But yeah, back in the 60s, they were fine with it.
That's right. Well, there was quite a few well-known artists in the recording sessions in the 60s that were gay.
Mm.
There were a lot of them. Quite okay. They didn't care. They were making great music, so, and it was selling. People loved the sound they were making. So
The Beatles did seem to be popular, didn't they?
They did seem
to
be popular,
sell a couple of records here and there.
Yeah.
It does seem that once you've surrounded yourself with the cloak of being famous, you can almost get away with anything that society might permit or might not permit.
Well, the rules change as you go up the ladder.
Look at Noel Coward, born in a very lowly circumstances, but made a name for himself on the British stage. He became friends of royals and had Princess Margaret used to go to his island of Mystique for her holidays with her boyfriends and all the rest of it, you know. So this is what happens when you become, if fame takes over, you don't have to worry about your sexuality.
You certainly do not, it would seem. We've got some positive examples there, but one person who was born on the 29th of August 1958, more of the modern era, Michael Jackson. Mm-hmm. He died in 25th of June 2009, aged 50, but...
And getting back to the Beatles, Michael Jackson bought their whole output, their whole...
Their
complete library. Michael Jackson owned every song that the Beatles ever made. And eventually that went back, I think when Michael Jackson died, I think they sold it back to somebody else, didn't they?
The family. Can't take it with you.
You can't take it with you. That's right, yeah. So the Beatles and Michael Jackson have an involvement with one another.
Well, we know that Michael Jackson had such a prestigious output as well.
Mm.
I don't know what it was. I think it was started out with as a little kid being so precocious and then having the musical ability to carry through his teen years and then into adulthood. It was amazing.
But his skill was as a performer. Mm. He didn't produce the music.
No.
He didn't write anything.
He was quite magical with his motion, dancing with his physicality.
Well, he was so skinny that he couldn't perform in windy weather.
But everybody tries to copy it now. It was the moonwalk that he perfected. That was another one of his little bits and pieces that he could do.
Well, why don't we hear a piece of music from the Jacksons? Can you feel it?
There it is.
You're on Joy. Been there, done that. Gordon, Phil and Chris. We'll be right back. You're with Chris Gordon and Phil. Been there, done that on Joy 94.9. You're with us on our history program. We're going to be talking about Ludwig, King Ludwig II of Bavaria, and another mysterious person, Karl Heinrich Ulrichs. First off, though, King Ludwig of Bavaria, born on the 25th of August, 1845, the Mad Swan King. He died in 13th of June, 1886. We think sometimes it could be murder. It certainly didn't seem to be something rational for him to do, which was to walk into the lake.
In the old days, of course, he was able to get away with a bit, but eventually the people in charge decided that he was a bit off. Well, and decided that they might have to get rid of him.
He was eccentric, but he had a bank balance that he could use to furnish his eccentricity.
Because Bavaria was a pretty wealthy place at that time, wasn't it?
Not only then, but now.
Yeah, yeah.
On the line, we've got Dr. Douglas Pretzel. Are you there, Douglas?
I'm there, yes.
Oh, you certainly are. Thank you very much. Ludwig, how come that he was able to be so out and outrageous and loud?
He was the King of Bavaria, and at the time Bavaria was nominally an independent nation. There were moves to bring all of Germany together. But he rather overstepped his mark in that constitutionally he wasn't an absolute monarch, but he behaved as if he was one.
So the coffers, the royal coffers, were his private bank balance.
Yes.
And he could favour any of his whims, even to who he would consort with. I don't think he really was in favour of the marriage that was set up for him. And I think he pulled out of that about a week before the event. Was that my understanding of history?
Yes, absolutely. And actually, there's a connection with Karl Heinrich Ulrich as well. Do you want me to talk about that?
Well, he was of the same era. And that's what I was going to make, the connection between they're basically in the Germanic states, and one would have been able to observe the behaviour of the other and how society respected or didn't respect both of them. But go ahead, please, Doctor.
Yes, so there was a particular event that happened in Munich in 1867 on August the 29th. There was a conference of all the lawyers in the whole of the German-speaking world. So that included Austrians, Germans, people from Limburg and Luxembourg, all the German-speaking lawyers, to talk about how they could converge their legal systems and if there was to be a future German state, what the criminal law should look like there. So one of the issues that should have been a primary issue was the fact that the sodomy laws were not the same for all the German states. So some places, like Bavaria and Hanover, had no sodomy law, but other places did. So Karl Heinrich Ulrich said, sent a proposal in to this conference that it be debated whether there should be a sodomy law in a future German state. He was not allowed to do it, so he registered a protest and was allowed by the presidium to give the protest on the last day of the conference. He did that, and this was the very first gay rights protest anywhere in the world. And there was someone who was in the audience when that was happening, and that was Ludwig II,
wow,
sitting in the audience and listening to this. He'd come in specially, hadn't attended any of the rest of the conference. He only came in to hear Ulrichs.
Now, Ulrichs did declare his love for men.
Yeah.
He had a particular name for it.
And it wasn't homosexual. That's right. So basically, when he started writing, the only words that were around were either boy rapist or sodomite. So he decided these were pejorative terms, so he invented his own term. That was urning.
All right.
In English, Uranian.
And that sounds like an old Greek term from one of the Greek gods.
That's right. He was a Greek scholar, had won many awards for that, and he went to Plato's Symposium, where Pausanias makes a speech about the origins of sexuality, and he declares that the Aphrodite derived from Uranus, where no female was involved in the birth of the Aphrodite, that would be the symbol of men who cleave to other men. So that's why Ulrichs used that, Urning, as in from Uranus, to describe men who had sexual and romantic desire for other men.
Wow. Now, Carl had already come out to his family, and that would have been a bit of a shock to them. But he was already well and truly known in the public service as a lawyer and academic. He was gay, although he never used that word as well. He just had these yearnings.
He was dismissed from the civil service in Hanover because it was discovered that he was homosexual, and that was in 1856. He didn't actually start his writings until 1863, and for the first 4 years, he was entirely anonymous, so no one knew who he was. The pseudonym he used, Numen Numantius, was famous. Every Urning throughout Germany knew who Numen Amantius was, but he'd never put his own name against anything. By stepping up onto the stage at the Congress of Juris, he identified himself as Numen Amantius.
Ah.
So that was his coming out.
That is a coming out. It was in front of the jurists. So he was trying to affect the law well and truly there by creating some degree of normalcy to the activities, to propose equality of one sort or another, and also the recognition of this other group of people that weren't recognized anywhere else.
That's right. And there were several proposals he had that, were very forward-thinking, very modern. So, for example, he said at one place that all Urning men should come out publicly, and that by doing that, that was the only way society would change.
Wow.
So, I mean, people were saying that in the 70s and 80s, much, much later. The second thing he said, he called for gay marriage.
Wow. That's modern. On
several occasions, in several books, he saw that it was a basic issue of discrimination, where the church or what the state says that sodomy is an act out of wedlock.
Mm.
That's only because the state deprives people of wedlock.
Wow. That is so modern. And apparently he also demanded women be given equal rights. So this was a real shock to the emancipation. And what was happening to black people in the US at that stage? They were seeking emancipation as well. So there was
it was the Civil War era.
Mm. So there was a whole worldwide movement of emancipation, of equality of rights.
Mm. That's right. There was a certain thing that happened in the mid 19th century. There were, if you like, transitions across a whole lot of different countries. I mean, you saw about in 1848, there were revolutions that happened in multiple European cities all at the same time, and this was about people thinking about their rights and thinking about how their individual rights related to the state.
And the modern parlance of homosexual and heterosexual arose with a fellow compatriot about 20 years after the exposure at the Congress of the Jurists.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we get our modern language.
Yeah, so Carl Maria Kirchbenny was actually a correspondent of Ulrichs. And the very first time he used the word homosexual was in a letter to Carl Heinrich Ulrichs in 1866. And he later published two anonymous notes that were sent to the German Diet to persuade them to not have a sodomy law. And they are the first published instances of the word homosexual being written. He later wrote another paper where he used the word heterosexual as well. So Kirchbenny was quite an odd character, but he was the one who formulated the terminology from 1866 onwards. But really, until the First World War, Uranian or Urning was much more common than homosexual in scholarly circles and also in ordinary society.
Well, I think we should really put Carl Heinrich Ulrichs on the map in our thinking, because there we are.
29th of August, 1867, which this 29th of August will be 150 years since he did that.
And he does have respect within the German-speaking communities and in other parts of Europe, and but doesn't feature yet on our radar here in Australia. So everybody has their coming out story, and that is a pretty powerful one indeed.
It is indeed, yes. He's a remarkable man.
So let's not lose track of that one. Dr. Douglas, thank you very much for your input today. We really appreciate that. And we'll speak later, I hope, because you're doing a paper on this, I believe.
I am. At the moment, I'm completing a thesis on Carl Heinrich Ulrich, and we'll be continuing the study of his correspondence in due course.
Well, listener, there you are. Some expert advice and information from Dr. Douglas. Thank you very much, Douglas. Talk to you later.
Thank you, Chris.
And thank you.
Bye.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
And you're listening to Been There, Done That with Chris, Gordon and Phil. And in the studio, we have a very special guest, Tristan Meacham.
Thanks so much for having me here.
Now, Tristan, All the Queen's Men's Dance Club, when's that?
Yes, so All the Queen's Men run a dance club for LGBTI elders. It's been going almost for 12 months now at the Fitzroy Town Hall. And each month we have a wonderful celebration, and Gordon is a regular attendee of this wonderful event.
He's been boasting about.
Yeah, well, it's actually a fantastic evening. The next dance club that we'll be having is in September, and we're changing the date. Normally we have it on a Thursday evening, but we're going to change it to see if other people would like to come. And we're hosting the next one on Sunday the 10th of September at 2 p.m. at the Fitzroy Town Hall.
And it's always a great way for older people to get together and have a bit of fun.
Absolutely.
Because as you get older, you tend to become like shadows. It's nice to be able to get around with your own age group and have a chat and a talk and a dance. Mind you, I like old people and young people, but anybody can come, can't they?
Absolutely. And we do welcome the whole LGBTI and allied community, but it is specifically for LGBTI elders. But everyone is welcome to come along and support and create a wonderful evening of dance, conversation and social interaction. Yeah, well, so it's a lot of fun.
It's great, like that. And the best thing about it is that when you're dancing, you're exercising.
Yes.
You don't realise how good the exercise is that you get from dancing.
That's very true.
Yes.
And you don't have to be a good dancer. I have no dance skills at all, as Gordon knows. I move about quite freely and it's quite embarrassing. But there are all dance experts or non-experts are welcome. We have some very professional dancers who come and dance every week, and they're very skilled social dancers, right down to those that have no dance skill like myself.
And I'm thinking that a lot of these dancers where you actually have a partner that you hold... Mm. That's novel.
Mm, absolutely. And well, it's a lovely thing to be doing as well, that you know, you can be involved
with touch. Boy germs.
Well, you're always allowed to sit out of a dance if you do. No one's forced to do anything that they don't want to do. But it's always encouraged.
But can it be two guys or two girls?
We prefer that at the LGBTI Elders Dance Club. Absolutely, we prefer two boys or two girls. Trans people as well, or non-gendered people. Everyone is welcome. That's what's a really fantastic thing about this dance club. We have such a great group of people there. There's no judgment. Everyone is welcomed, and everyone does have a really good time,
fun time, I can guarantee that. And the best part about it is that they have people there that can teach you dances.
That's true.
If you don't know how to do something, one of the ladies will get up and teach you the movements of a dance, and you can do that.
What did Ginger Rod say to Fred Astaire?
She does it backwards on heels.
Well, you can bring heels as well. We encourage that. And just so you know, it is a free event. There's delightful catering and drinks provided, but it's also free for the community as well.
Wow.
It's a wonderful, wonderful monthly event, and we hope to do it throughout 2018 as well.
Oh, good.
It's supported by the City of Yarra. We do have to give them a thanks because they give us the beautiful hall, which is actually quite a wonderful place to be meeting once a month in.
And it's very easy to get to on the public transport.
Absolutely.
Trams down Brunswick Street.
Absolutely. Great for a chance to have a good dance, to have a bit of a mingle with people that you may not know. And
what was the time of day or night again, please?
So the next one that we have is on the 10th, Sunday the 10th, and that'll be from 2 till 5.
Ah, right.
And normally, we hold it normally on the first Thursday of the month, usually at 5:30. But we've decided to mix up the next one.
Is that a weekend?
That's correct, yes, Sunday.
Right. Mm. Very good then. So there's no excuse why you shouldn't be able to get out free transport?
Correct.
Wow.
I like your thinking, absolutely. So we're going to test it on, normally we host it on a Thursday, mm-hmm. and that's been good for a lot of people, but we've also noticed that maybe some people aren't able to come on, yep. on an evening. It could be a bit too late, especially during the winter time. So we'd like to see how it works on the Sunday and test
Terrific
it then.
Terrific thing. Yeah.
And absolutely, free transport, free event, so there's no excuses.
Gordon, you keep boasting that dancing is bloody good exercise.
Well, a German company did a, or scientific company did a survey. They had runners, dancers, swimmers, and gym bunnies. And they tested them before they gave them all this 3 or 4 weeks of whatever they had to do. And then they came back after they had done all that. And the fittest people of the lot of them were the dancers.
Goodness me. And also probably you're able to exercise and have fun while doing
this
it.
This is right. Yeah.
I used to run. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you that that task is pretty monotonous. There's not a lot of fun to that. But dancing certainly makes you smile as well as drop the pound. The dance club is confirmed till the end of the year as well. So it happens every month. You can check out online for details. But the next one is Sunday the 10th, and then we'll go back to our normal Thursdays for October. So the Thursday of the month for October and November. And then we're going to try the Sunday again for the end on December.
Now, modern dancing, you know, where you stand alone and... Is that also available?
Absolutely. We do have different styles of dance from the social dancing, the more traditional waltzes. We've even tried a tango once or twice. That was quite fiery. But yes, absolutely, some more line dancing has always been very popular. We do. I'm a big fan of the Nutbush.
But line dancing, that used to be terribly popular in the 80s and 90s. Whatever happened to clogging?
I would love to introduce some clogging. I am a big fan of the Rainbow Cloggers and also that amazing group, and they're still fantastic cloggers that are doing that are teaching clogging. Yep. Maybe it's something that we should invite some experts to come in and maybe host a guest.
Well, there'd be lots of lesbians who thought they were out of the social scene would love to come back in.
Yes,
I can tell you that my clogging shoes are still home in the wardrobe.
Now, what else, Tristan, are you able to tell us about your activities, please?
Absolutely. Well, I have a very exciting announcement that I've been working on for quite some time with a group of wonderful artists and LGBTI elders from around Victoria. It's very exciting to announce that we will be presenting the inaugural Coming Back Out Ball at the Melbourne Town Hall. This is an event that will be a premiere event of the Victorian Seniors Festival.
Yay.
And it will be a huge takeover of the Melbourne Town Hall on Saturday, the 7th of October at 6 p.m.
Right.
Now, this event is going to be quite the do, taking a lot of inspiration from the old art balls and the beautiful celebrations that happened of yesteryear. And we have the one and only Robin Archer hosting this event with some beautiful performances from Carlotta, from Deborah Cheatham and Tony Lalich, from an amazing performance artist from America and the UK, Lois Weaver, performing her character Tammy Why Not. We will also have the one and only Jerry Connolly performing. Kathleen Maguire will be conducting the music. It's going to be an absolute spectacular celebration in honour of LGBTI elders. The event is free to attend for LGBTI elders.
Yeah.
It will be include dinner, dancing and drinks, and it will be certainly the social event, we hope,
of the year. It'll be a safe space in the Melbourne Town Hall. People's Palace, in effect.
Absolutely, taking over the People's Palace, one of the largest civic venues in Victoria, and also making sure that LGBTI elders feel like that place is for them as well.
Well, there is marvellous support from the City Council and also the state government for gay activities.
Absolutely. So we have been
LGBTI activities.
We have been very lucky that this project has been supported by some amazing organisations to make it possible that it's a free event for over 500 people will be able to attend. And I should really give them a shout out, because without them I wouldn't be able to announce this very exciting announcement. But it is in the Victorian Seniors Festival, premier event for that wonderful festival that also has some fantastic LGBTI events that will be taking place throughout that program, in association with the LGBTI Aging and Aged Care Conference, which will be happening a couple of days beforehand. So it's a really nice lead-in to that. And the project is supported supported by the Australia Council, through the City of Melbourne, the Margaret Lawrence Bequest, and the Victorian State Government. And the project's been auspiced by Auspicious Arts Project and the Victorian AIDS Council. So we thank all of those partners. But I think it'll be a fantastic night to be able to dress up and connect with new people or connect with old friends. We really do encourage people to book online, comingbackoutball.com. And we hope it's a real fantastic celebration of LGBTI elders.
I would just like to say that on several Facebook pages, I've seen comments from people that have read about the Coming Back Out Ball. This looks like a hoot. We've got to go. And that's they've been booking to go to the ball.
Well, so I have to say that one of the hero images, one of the hero stars of the Coming Back Out Ball is the one and only Gordon Wilson. And I have to say, those photos, one of the most handsome men I've ever seen. And I think that the hero images of the ball are anything to go by. It's going to be a very great event.
You
Tristan,
mean
the check is in the mail.
Our Gordon?
Absolutely, our Gordon.
Wow!
But he's on radio for a reason.
Well, he's also got a face for TV. He's got a face for TV as well, let me say.
Sounds wonderful. We better put some details of that on our webpage as well.
I think we should do too.
On our Been There, Done That podcast page. So thank you very much indeed, Tristan.
It's a pleasure to be
here. Sounds like a couple of wonderful events coming up, and I love the Sunday afternoon concept of a dance get-together to kick your heels up.
Thank you so much for having me.
Pleasure. Bye.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You're with Chris, Phil and Gordon. Been there, done that. Joy 94.9. Thanks for being with us on our last little program before our 9-week break. What about what is happening in the background for both the Town Hall event as part of Seniors Week and also the regular Dance club.
Now, at the Fitzroy Town Hall too. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been to this?
No. Is that the one in the back street?
Yes, it's in Napier Street. I usually catch the tram and get off at Hanover Street, stop and just walk through when you're there. You know, it's very easy to get to. It's just a happy, nice place to be. But the City of Yarra are the main sponsors. Now, they're in the news lately, aren't they?
They have been naughty.
They're Malcolm's best friend.
They're my best friend. They want to cancel the 26th of January, and so do I. I've always wanted to cancel the 26th of January, even when I was a young person.
But then you're from the West.
But didn't mean it meant absolutely bloody nothing over there.
Exactly. And why?
Well, it was nothing to do with WA.
And it was, as I call it, it's really Botany Bay Day.
Well, that's about right, because they landed on the 26th of January in Botany Bay, and then they went round the corner and found Port Jackson because Botany Bay was going to be useless.
Now, can I just remind people that about 4 days earlier than that, one of my ancestors actually bumped into some islands in Bass Strait.
Yes.
The Furno Group, as they're called.
That's right.
That's me. King Island, Flinders Island and everything. This is on the 22nd and 23rd of January.
That's right.
And Captain Cook, who was supported by Captain Furno, he was the one who said, right, well, you can name them after you and we'll head on up the coast now and see what we can find there. So, in fact, Furno Island Day is younger than Botany Bay Day.
That's right. And they don't celebrate the 26th of January on Flinders Island. They have Furno Island celebrations for the local community. Yeah, and I was reading about that in the paper this morning, actually. It was really very, very interesting how they have decided from the local islanders who didn't want the 26th of January, so they decided that they would have their festival on Furno Day, which is when Captain Furno hit the island. He didn't hit the island, he sort of pulled up and had a look.
Put on the brakes.
The wharf wasn't very developed at the time.
No, it wasn't, yes. But what a wonderful idea. And not so long ago, the City of Fremantle wanted to give up the 26th of January as well, because as I say, over in WA, it means absolutely nothing. It's nothing to do with WA, because when they went there, the whole of the east coast of Australia was New South Wales, not Australia.
Really? It wasn't until quite recently that the Australia Day was such a great big carry-on.
Oh, well, that's only because of Mr. Howard. He wanted made everything move to Sydney for...
Oh, he was
Sydney-centric.
Sydney-centric.
But it's only been a public holiday for a few decades.
That's right, yes.
We're not talking about something that's been done for 200 years.
No.
So it's in its infancy, that's and it right. should be done correctly.
Yeah, and a lot of people are suggesting that the 1st of January is the more appropriate day for Australia Day, but then that was for the Constitution, which is now falling into disrepute. So therefore, we might actually have to have new Constitution Day or Republic Day.
Or rename it to the more correct White Australia Day.
Ooh.
Because it doesn't celebrate all Australians.
No.
Especially those who were invaded.
But we probably need to have the new constitution that does offer respect to our original inhabitants and perhaps even us.
Well, what about us? What about recognising us to start with? But I've been on about the constitutionality of the Indigenous people for years, and people take no notice of me. You know, I just think it's so wrong to leave a whole human population out of any count, which they are counted now, thank God for the referendum back in the 60s, but they should be in the Constitution. And it wasn't the fact that the Constitution happened on the 1st of January, it was the actual foundation of the Commonwealth of Australia.
Yeah.
Is the 1st of January, 1901.
That's the legislative
That's
day.
That's the legislative day that was made for the Commonwealth of Australia. Yeah. And when they landed and they were in here, Australia wasn't even called Australia.
It was Terra Australis.
Flinders called it. It was Terra Australis when he was stuck on an island in Madagascar or somewhere on his way home, and he said it could be called Terra Australis. And so they liked the name in England, so they called it Australia.
Joy 94.9.
19th of August 1907 was the Rabbit Proof Fence, the longest fence in the world, was completed.
Mm.
Now, was this to isolate the Western Australians?
them out.
It was to keep the rabbits out, actually, because the rabbit population had expanded so badly since it was brought into the Victoria as a game thing to do for the people that were of class to hunt with their guns to shoot the little rabbits. But they developed very, very quickly and spread right across Australia, actually, and they were trying to stop rabbits from getting into WA.
It was the subject of a film, though. Yes, it wasn't about rabbits.
No, it was the three young girls that had been stolen from their parents because they were supposed to be not fully Aboriginal. They were supposed to be half-caste or something stupid.
Yeah.
And they took them right down, and the girls decided they were going to leave, and they walked the whole length of the rabbit-proof fence back
home. Now,
hold
on. They were taken away from country as young girls. But then the girls decided to get back to country.
That's right. That's exactly
and
what happened.
They couldn't get there because there's this bloody great big fence.
No. They knew that if they followed the fence, they would be home. That was
so
the idea of following the
down
fence.
Or all of, northwards
they
were, or southwards?
They went back towards the Northern Territory, which is where they came from. So they knew that the rabbit-proof fence was very close to home. And so they just follow the fence. It's a magnificent, magnificent movie. It really is. And when you see the way that the children were just grabbed by the white people and throw them into cars and all the rest of it and just took them out. But it's a bloody good movie, and it really shows you what they had to put up with. It's shocking.
It looks like the clock is against us. We've had our time on the soapbox. We're getting a little bit bolshy of late, haven't we?
I could get bolshy very, very quickly.
what does bolshy mean for those?
Well, it
who
comes
don't
from the Bolsheviks, which is the Russian Revolution.
It's a derogatory term for people who get up and stir up trouble. And challenge
the way people are thinking to try to think another way.
So we might have a new name for the show when we return.
The Bolshy, the
Bolshy Grumpy
Brothers.
Hour with Gordon. Tabag Grizzle.
I think we don't whinge about anything and everything.
We just give people a thought to remember.
We're rather grateful for the rights that we enjoy. And, as far as I'm concerned, I don't see why other people shouldn't enjoy human rights as well.
Can I just say one thing? If you haven't already logged on to your electoral office, go and do it so that you can get a postal poll for this stupid bloody thing that's coming up.
Okay,
go and have a holiday. We're going to have a holiday, aren't we?
We are. In 9 weeks'
Not together.
Time,
not
no,
together.
In 9 weeks' time, we'll be back. We'll be able to talk about our stories, about how we've been there and done that.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, when you say we, We're referring to only two of the three.
Well, but you travel, you've got a trip to Blackburn every time, every now and again.
Yes, and I don't need a passport for that.
You don't either, no. Yes.
But I am using the royal we, of course.
Oh. Are you?
I'm also one of the Queen's men.
Are you? Oh, right. Yeah, I'm good. We're going actually on a gay river cruise down the Mekong.
Wow.
Like the Flintstones, they had a gay old time.
Yes, they did, didn't they?
Their theme song.
And Phil, we've got to thank you for all your Simpsons jokes for the last few weeks. And
there will be more. It's still being produced.
Yes, that's right. Thank you indeed. Lovely to have you with us today, but you're going to have to listen to us and some of our shows on podcast. And where will we find those? At joy.org.au/been there. Or just go to the web page and
look on the program grid.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
9 weeks' time, the 24th of October, we'll be back on air.
Yeah.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.